son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that.
That's a funny, funny car.
Come on, it's your car, and you do what you want with it. I own this car, I do as I please. I also own the highway, my taxes pay for that. They're both mine. I own the highway and I own the car. I own everything!
Big trouble. Next to Rookie Suarez, up and over Regan Smith, the big one out there to the trial.
Welcome to the Throwing Wrenches Podcast.
And we are live. This is Eric Stahl.
And I'm Daryl Scott, and you're listening to Throwing Wrenches, the podcast. Thanks for listening.
Episode 2, Not a Retread.
That's right, that's right. How's that catchphrase coming, Eric?
Still working on the catchphrase, but we're still living under the rule of Kaizen. That is the house rule, which is the Japanese term for constant improvement. So as you could hear by the intro to the show tonight, we got a little bit going on there.
Nailed it.
Thank you.
I think you did good work putting that together. All 6 years you spent on that.
I cut off Carlin just before he started swearing to it.
So this is still PG?
Yeah.
Is it PG-13?
No, I think we're unless you get foul on me here, I think we're going to be okay on the rating. I'm going to keep it as a PG rating.
Sounds good. Sounds good. We'll do our best. Let us know if we're not doing our best. You can always send us an email to info@throwinwrenches.com as I hit the mic.
Yep.
And make some noise there.
Amateur operation. We expect that a little bit.
Feedback. Let's get some feedback. I hear we have some from the grab bag.
Yeah, well, the only feedback I have this week is from my son. So it's
Does it count?
Well, family can be brutal. So
that's true.
I was trapped in a car with my son for countless hours last week as we went to Colorado and back. And he demanded to listen to the show. And I made sure he listened to the last show because I said the pilot is still... The pilot is the pilot.
Sure.
But his critique was that I am far too loud.
Okay.
And that Daryl says too much.
I agree with both of those. No, I do say quite a bit. My wife said the same thing. She told me she wasn't going to listen to the show.
Yeah, that's ironic.
And she told me, oh, yeah, well, Eric's son said you say
15,
a lot.
By the way.
Oh, well, you do. So, yeah, apparently my wife listens. Love you. But I'll try not to do the quite
yeah,
so
and I'll try not to talk so loud. I'm going to watch and monitor more. You know, I get a little too excited sometimes.
It's easy to do.
Yeah, and I will say this. My son is quite an expert on the podcast because we listen to podcasts all the way there and all the way back, and he's a little comedy file now, so he knows every comedian's show, and he knows which ones suck and which ones are good. So speaking of, Carolla's show sucks.
Not a fan?
No. It's like a morning zoo thing, and... we listen to a lot of Mark Maron, Bill Burr's Sunday morning or Monday morning podcast.
That's always good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So
Mark Maron, you get a little Maron in there.
I like Maron. You know, and the thing about Maron is, it's kind of like inside the actor's studio with him. He's getting more and more like that. I can tell as he acts, he likes talking about acting. And
yeah,
I think my son's gonna be an actor when it's all over. So
well, you know, theater's a good career.
Yeah, right. Yeah, honestly. Like radio, right, Daryl?
Yeah, it's great career.
Yeah. All right. Also, iTunes. We are on iTunes, and if you tune in there, please give us a review. We'd appreciate that. And sponsors?
Hey.
We're looking for sponsorship money. This is a ground floor opportunity.
That's right. I've got to put the hard sell on you here, but if you get in now... Rates are low now.
Oh yeah, we'll give you a free banner ad.
It's kind of like that studio apartment in the warehouse district. You should have gotten in on the ground floor of that because now it's too late.
Because now it's $250,000 and you're
right.
Kicking yourself. You could have got it for $15. So $15 a month as opposed to $250 a month. I mean, man, what a deal.
Let's talk. info@throwinwrenches.com, or you can also follow us on Facebook. We're at Throwing Wrenches Podcast. Check us out there. And tell your friends. Like, subscribe, comment. Watch the website, too, throwinwrenches.com, where we have some stuff
And
there.
Look out for us at all the cars and coffees and all that stuff, too.
Yep.
All right, so next segment here is Daryl's ongoing Volvo project. You made mention of it last time, but... getting some parts maybe weren't quite right. What's going on with that thing?
Yeah, well, not too much because I just didn't have the right parts. It's funny when you order the wrong parts or they send you something that isn't quite right, like a rotor that's warped out of the box, which you said is kind of a common thing now.
We see it on aftermarket a lot, yeah. And like I said, the best is when you get a five-lug wheel that only has four drilled out.
Four out of five drilled.
And it wasn't drilled for four. It was drilled for five, but they missed one. So
E for effort, right? Yeah. The only thing I will say, Rock Auto is a fantastic catalog. They got a lot of parts that you can get for all kinds of obscure vehicles, like old Swedish garbage. Yeah. But they have a 30-day return policy. So if you don't put that right out of the, take it out of the box, put it right on the car, and notice that there's an issue with it, after 30 days, you're SOL. And then you basically have to...
You're starting your own parts store.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing now. And here's a newsflash. Nobody wants Swedish car parts, aftermarket car parts.
That's amazing. I can't believe that.
Not a hot commodity. Yeah. So, Rock Auto, love you. Love everything about you. The free magnets that you send with the parts orders. But bump your return policy to 90 days. Thank you very much.
All right. And that was nice, Daryl. You left the door open should they want to be a sponsor.
Hey, door's open.
Yeah. My ongoing project last time we talked was a skid plate on the 2010 4Runner.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, I drive a 2010 Trail Edition 4Runner. It's got a little lift on it, got 33s on there, and got the skid plates and some armor. But it's just a minor lift. It's a 2-inch level lift kit, and I got some upper control arms replaced on it. It's nothing excessive, and a lot of people kind of make fun of me. If you're a purist in the lift scene, it's not a full suspension lift. Yeah, spacer lift is kind of a bastardized version of a lift. But my goal is when I go out on the trails and I'm interacting with customers to have a vehicle that's not too imposing or too intimidating. I want to show people you can have a borderline stock truck and do this stuff. So, so I got the skid plate on literally the day I flew in from my last trip. I got in the truck. They delivered it to the house, and we drove it out to Colorado. And that's the one thing I love about this truck. It's still sound enough. I can drive it, you know, 1,500 miles if I have to. We drove it out to Mojave last year. This year we drove to Colorado.
Awesome.
And then we spent a week basically up in the mountains.
You know, you're out in the wilderness with this daily driven Toyota that you don't have any qualms about taking up 10,000 feet, going in
15,000 feet if you had
Wow.
to. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
We primitive camped. We were at the by the time it was all over, we ended up down in Ouray, Colorado, and we were at a campsite that was at 10,000 feet. Primitive camping, no water, no bathrooms, tent camping. I think I changed my underwear 3 times, and thank God my wife wasn't there.
You know? Right.
It was pretty brutal, but this truck is amazing in the fact that you can drive it across country, be completely comfortable, but then when it comes to the mountain passes, one of the things we did was the Alpine Loop, which is a run from Ouray to Silverton to Lake City back over to Ouray, and you're taking 3 mountain passes on those segments, and this truck is a beast. It can go anywhere. And there's people spending lots more money to be up there and do a lot more stuff. And I'm driving around a truck that's arguably a $20,000 truck, you know, and total confidence in the truck, you know.
And having fun. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a little stressful, probably when you're out on the trail,
You know, the worst part is you get jaded because you see a lot of people have accidents because they don't take the reality of it too seriously. Because after you do it a couple times, it's like an amusement park, you know. You're like, oh, I've done that obstacle. You forget the threat that the obstacle poses. So you do have to keep your mind in check. But
all the stuff, too, when you're on the trails with a group of friends, colleagues, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Are you out during the day? I mean, do you run into stuff at night?
I've done that at off-road parks. We'll do night runs. And those are fun. That's why you got guys with the LED. See, this is where we get into the mall rated when we were at Cars and Coffee or Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
And we had the Jeep that had all the LEDs and stuff. You would not be caught dead up in those mountain passes with all those lights. It might be nice to have those lights if it were dark, but nobody would do that. No, I have functional lights on the truck, and if I need to do a night run, I got just enough light, the factory lights, plus I got 2 spotlights that point either side of the truck, and I can aim them as I need to. And we did have a breakdown when we were out there. So, you know, this is a work trip for the most part. We take 2 customers, and I had 2 employees with me. One of them was a technician, and I had a couple friends join us, too. My fan compressor clutch did not want to activate when I was up at Mosquito Pass. It's 14,000. It's the highest pass you can drive across the United States.
Wow.
And I was overheating. I was getting about 75% heat, and I could smell it. There's no warning. There's no buzzer. There's no light, but I smelled it.
You smell the antifreeze.
I smelled something. Yeah. I knew it was getting too hot. So I looked down, and I saw it was overheating a little bit. I drive the truck enough to know where it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out that ours is just a centrifugal type clutch. It's heat activated, so then it stays on and engages. So it wasn't engaging. The truck was getting too hot under the engine. So I ran the heat, got back down. It was fine. Actually, I had a technician with me, went to AutoZone, and got another part to fix that. But the AutoZone part is probably made to fit 20 vehicles.
Yeah.
And it didn't quite fit mine because my fan blade was rubbing on a coolant hose. As I thought, and I'm like, when we were putting it on, I'm like, man, that looks awfully close. And we spun it, and they're like, no, it's not really there. But you got to imagine, as it gets really hot, that coolant hose is going to expand a little bit. And sure enough, I checked an hour later, and there's a little bit of black fuzz all over that fan. So we ended up taking the fan back off. The technician had the brilliant idea to take some Canadian currency and drill holes in it.
There you go.
And it was an 8 Canadian cent repair is what we called it. So we put two of those pennies on each one of the bolt holes and remounted the fan, and it worked. And I tell you what, man.
It's still on today?
Yeah, it's on right now. It got me back from Colorado, and it was a genius repair because, honestly, we're looking all – there's no Home Depot at 10,000 feet. That's where I was at the time when it broke down, and we were at our campsite. I'm at 10,000 feet, and U-Ray, there's nothing – even buying a banana in that town is $18. Right. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, you know, if you're going to find some washers, there's no hardware store. If you did find one, it's going to be a $28 washer. Yeah. So,
and they're only probably open, you know, 2 hours a day.
Exactly, exactly.
Beautiful and country, though. But how many miles total did you guys put on?
3,050 miles on my truck round trip.
Wow. And then as far as when you get back home, then what do you change oil, do kind of full maintenance on it, just...
It's still a daily driver.
Just turn the key and go to work.
Honest to God, it's a daily driver. That's the beauty of the Toyota.
It's good. Still runs. Everything's good.
There's no noises. I put a little dent in one of the rock rails.
Where are those pennies? Where'd I
yeah,
put my chain?
I thought about that, but they're working good, so we're all right.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Yeah. You can always warranty it out at the AutoZone.
So that was my trail repair. Do you have a trail repair?
No, not
last month.
Well, yeah, I had a little blowout on the interstate last week with my Jeep. Nothing near exciting as you guys out in Colorado, but I did have another blowout that involved one of those tire pressure sensors, where it just totally blows out. The little aluminum Schrader valve piece goes somewhere.
So it just like blew through the cap and everything, just shot out of there?
Oh, totally gone, instant air out, and I was going interstate speed trying to pass a truck. I didn't know what – I heard this rumbling up front, and I didn't feel the noise. I just heard this rumbling. I thought it was a semi-jake braking or something. It turns out it was just – me running on a flat tire for a quarter mile, which is great. So,
wife in the car with you?
What's that?
Was the wife in the car with you?
No, I was by myself playing, like Jane's Addiction way too loud.
Oh, okay.
That probably contributed to me not hearing
Hopefully not been caught stealing, because that's...
It's overplayed.
Yeah, okay.
Good song, though. But, changed it out, got a new tire, had to get a new sensor and the, what is it called? The TPS kit.
TPMS kit. Yeah.
Which is that lovely added... cost when you
so
buy
what kind of store did you go to? Do you just go to like a farm fleet or something?
Firestone.
Okay.
Yeah. I had, and the other thing too is I'm one of those guys. I like kept all the receipts. Like I know I paid for the road hazard protection. No, this guy here only bought the lifetime balancing, not the lifetime road hazard prorated thing.
Yeah.
So I had a Bridgestone Ecopia with, probably half as many miles on it as it could have gotten, all because the TPMS thing blew out. I've had one or two of those on this vehicle, and I guess there's been some recalls and stuff. They're made by Siemens. They've had some issues with them, but
the sensors themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but Chrysler, Fiat Chrysler's. Oh well, your vehicle isn't covered by that. It's every other vehicle that we made ever.
Yeah.
So, anyways, if you have the TPMS, which is a great little piece of technology that's worked its way into vehicles,
it's mandated by the federal government now.
Yeah.
Oh joy.
It's great because it lets you know when they go bad.
I guess. And there's different styles. Some of them still have rubber stems with little sensors built in. Some of them just flat-out aluminum stems like you're talking about.
Yeah.
So every manufacturer, unfortunately, has their own version of technology on this. And, I think Apple and Android are talking about making a cord that works between both phones, here in the next couple generations.
Only took them 10 years, right?
Yeah. I think tire manufacturers or auto manufacturers will never come to an agreement on these things.
You would think. Economies of scale. But it's like the Takata airbags. It's like one or two companies that make everything.
Yeah.
And they can't get along. So, keep an eye on them. If you have any older Chrysler vehicles that use those things with the solid aluminum Schrader valve setup, just want to keep an eye. They seem to corrode and cause problems. So.
Yeah, I love the old codgers come in. I say old codgers lovingly. The guys who come in.
It's done out of love.
They put in like metal caps with like dice on them or something on top of those aluminum caps. And we got to explain to them. that a steel cap on an aluminum stem is not a good combination. It will corrode on there. And then the aluminum likes to just break off.
It'll snap right off.
Yeah. And the customer, they're like, oh, I've always had these, blah, blah. I'm like, no, you cannot do this stuff on your new car.
Yeah, don't do the chrome-plated dice.
Yeah.
Don't do the 8-ball with the gold ring around it. Yeah, bimetal. Just look at, what is it called, the dielectric union.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Now, my ARB kit, I had a tire repair kit on my car because I was deflating my tires up in the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a Schrader valve blowout
while
I was deflating because that's the fastest way.
Malfunction.
Yeah, I did. While you're deflating your tires, the easiest way to do it is to pull the Schrader valve out, just let them run. And I use my stopwatch. I'll sit and watch them for 35, 45 seconds. And one just shot right past him like, oh, son of a gun. And, you know, it's, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning. There's a gravel road where there's trucks behind me. And
you're
here
not
I am.
Finding it.
I got my finger holding one, you know, so it's not running out. And so I yell at my kid. I say, get that ARB tire repair kit. It's got the tire, you know, if I got a nail or something, it's got all that stuff. But it also has Schrader valves in it.
Oh, boy.
Thank God. So I just popped one in there. And just went about my way. But I'm going to tell you what, a $20 kit like that
is
worth its weight in gold.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Does it have the plug thing?
Oh, yeah.
You can cut a plug in there?
Yeah, I can do all that stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, I use it on my mower all the time. True story. Yeah. I always get thorns in my mower tires. And don't give me the thing about the slime, because the slime does not work when you got a thorn that's the size of like a pencil lead. Just doesn't hold up. All right, so... With all that, let's move on to our normal segments here. Let's talk a little bit about the news, and we always start with the international news.
Yeah, we're going to do some international stuff. Speaking of Fiat Chrysler vehicles and products, we've debated on the name. I don't remember if we came to a consensus. Sergio?
It's Sergio. We know that much.
Sergio Marchionne, I think, is how you say
it. Oh, yeah, I think
you
got it that time.
Fiat Chrysler's CEO. He's got some health problems, right, Eric?
Yeah, apparently became gravely ill after a shoulder surgery of some sort. And at this point, he's not even capable to run the company, which is kind of shocking. I mean, this had to be a giant blow to Fiat Chrysler. You know, we rib Elon Musk a lot on the show, and we're not done yet.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. But I consider him the icon, the figurehead, kind of like Elon is in Italy, you know, for auto manufacturing. This guy is a world figure. He's at every auto show around the world. Everybody knows who he is. And when he speaks, people listen. And I think that moving up the head of the Jeep division, you know, to replace him, you know, well, that's probably solid. I think they lose a lot of gravitas. You know, I think Sergio brings a lot of attention to the company.
Yeah, he definitely does. And he's done, love it or hate it, since, you know, Chrysler's kind of gone through some changes in the last 10, 15 years now. Yeah. He's definitely done a lot to increase the brand overseas, globally, which is a huge thing. You know, I've got relatives overseas, and there's Jeeps all over the place. And, you know, 20 years ago, that wasn't the case. So
that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of positive things going on. And they keep introducing new models. Some of the new stuff they've come out with is not too shabby. So hopefully he gets better. But, yeah, at the same time, there might be a little bit of sea change there at Fiat Chrysler.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, really, the next year or two will tell. You know, we talked about it before. There were no Fiats for like 30 years in the United States. I mean, This whole thing with the 500 and the Spiders, I mean, that's an MR or a
Miata, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, those cars didn't exist here for a long, long time. You'd look at stuff and be like, oh man, I wish I'd get that. Nope, not available in America. So anyway.
Yeah, that Spider though, there's a kind of white or cream color one running around town.
Is there?
Nice looking.
With the black hood?
Yeah.
Nice God, car. Yeah. I think Top Gear did a review of one of those when it came out. I think Richard Hammond drove it.
He could fit in it. Nobody else.
But I remember my daughter was drooling over the car. She's like, Dad, I want one of those. I'm like, it's just a Miata.
It's a Miata that's more expensive with nicer leather.
It's an MX3. Yeah.
Oh, well.
All right. Another international news. It's worth noting BMW and Volkswagen are working with China right now. They have... gained access to building joint ventures in China, which is unheard of. Normally, China controls the cards in these situations, and BMW and Volkswagen have set up situations where they're going to build factories, and they're going to have commanding ownership rights in those situations. So be interesting to see what happens for the export situation with saying situational a lot. Maybe situation. What's that TV show that had the situation?
Jersey Shore. I think they rebooted that, by the way.
I think they did.
Speaking of good decisions.
Yeah. But anyway, be interesting to see what happens here with the exports. Because I have to imagine they're not planning on rolling BMWs and Volkswagens into every household in China.
No, I don't think the middle class thing, I think, already popped over there. So everybody that wanted a Buick or a BMW, I think they have it. GM, I know, is building some cars over there. I know there's others. So we'll see what happens. But as far as China, interesting to kind of see the development of the manufacturing sector there. It seems like they have endless capacity, but there's also things they've turned out there that isn't necessarily – maybe they're responsible for some of the 4 out of 5 lug drilled rotors.
I can guarantee you those came from over there.
Well, the one I shipped back to Rock Auto did. I'll tell you that.
Country of origin, China.
Yeah. But you know what? Nobody else is building the stuff. And
no.
And that's what we need to at least get real about.
Well,
here.
Nobody wants those jobs, you know.
Work at a steel mill?
Do you want your kids to work at the lithium mine? Do you want your kids, you know, swimming in mercury every day trying to sort out, you know, precious metals?
Probably
nah,
not.
You probably don't. So that's why that job goes to China.
That's right.
It seems to be okay for us to let them do it. You know, what was that? NIMBY, not my backyard.
Yeah. Out of sight, out of mind. As long as we're not seeing it, it's great. I can get, like, Prime Day. That was another example. You know, I got these.
I missed, and I was on the road. I really wanted to participate in Prime Day this year.
Did
it looked
you?
Exciting, but.
There's, well, I guess it crashed, right, too?
Like I heard that, yeah.
Everybody was like, hey, I ordered all this, this, and this, and they all crashed. But the other thing, too, just because you can buy Bluetooth headphones for $10, think about that. I mean.
Yeah,
should
you're right.
Should you be able to?
But there's a child that has a job because of that in China.
Oh, boy.
He's helping his family right now.
You know, sadly, there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we shift gears and go to national news.
Let's talk about some national news.
Fun times?
Yeah. Well, it's super happy. Donald Trump made the comment about, hey, China, we're going to put a 25% tariff on anything that comes over here that's automotive, whether that's parts or cars. And that's what we're going to do. And, man, I tell you what. I get all the trade magazines because I'm in the industry, and NADA and everybody else is having a freak out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it literally is turned into freak out mode, which is funny because, you know, they all love Trump. And then when he says something like this, you know, it puts them all on their edge. So
just in terms of like jobs, are they worried about?
I think the biggest thing was it was immediately in jobs because if you think about the auto parts that come through, just think if you're O'Reilly's or somebody like that, what's that going to do to your prices on everything? You know, you have to make cuts.
That's true.
Yeah. And the auto manufacturers building the cars, how many of those parts are Chinese sourced too?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's true. It's time will tell.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what actually happens. What I've noticed about Trump is he really barks loud, you know, really asks for the extreme and then usually meets you halfway. So,
yeah.
And what people don't understand, you know, I work for a manufacturer that they've always tariffed outside trucks. If you had a Mercedes G-Wagon or a Toyota Land Cruiser or something like that, those vehicles are automatically hit with a 25% tariff. People don't even realize that. You know, why do you pay so much for Land Cruiser? Oh, because there's an old rule that's been there since the 80s, you know, that we tariff that stuff 25%. So what Trump is saying is something that is not unprecedented, but there's certainly a lot more cars involved than just trucks coming to the United States. So I think that's what's freaking people out. Yeah.
Speaking of trucks, we'll talk about something that's not quite so happy. The fatal accident that happened in Branson with a World War II era duck vehicle. That's that amphibious vehicle. A duck's like an acronym. It's like D-U-K-W.
Double tandem axle military utility vehicle or something.
World War II in Korea, I think they were used.
There's a couple different varieties of these. They got the standard like World War II edition, and it looks like there was like a Euro theater one from the newer models. But these things have been around for a long time. And I think there's companies, even in Chicago, there's a place called Chicago Ducks. You can buy them if you want to run your own. If we want to start a business in Peoria, Daryl,
just
a duck tour. We just buy one up in Chicago
across
and bring
the river.
Yeah.
I think there's probably going to be some increased scrutiny after what happened in Missouri. And what was the total? Was it 13 or 16 or 19?
Something like that. It was brutal. I mean, it was
a tragic loss of life.
Yeah, it was, I think, a whole family except for one person died. And but basically, it came down to human error. I mean, a guy made a judgment call to drive across a lake during a storm. They didn't put any life vests on anybody inside the vehicle. My first thought was, you know, why do we let these things creep around here? But really, these things are pretty durable. They're diesel trucks. They're well-maintained. I actually, and I'm going to segue here, I just took a flight to Alaska on pontoon planes They were from 1956.
I was going to say it's 70 years,
with,
60, 70
with rotary years. Engines. And I'm like, why are these things still around? But you know what? When something's that reliable and it could still be rebuilt and it's efficient, you know, sometimes that stuff sticks around. This came down to a guy not asking, you know, people to wear their seatbelts. And I think that comes down to it's a motor vehicle. You drive on the road. And I think that the whole novelty is you drive around town, blah, blah. And next thing you know, you're in the water, you know.
Hey, it's a novelty.
But nobody thinks, hey, let's put those life vests on. You know, you've spent an hour in the car already, you know, drive around. I don't think the reality hits you that you're in a dangerous situation in that boat.
That's true. And they're all over the place, like you mentioned, Chicago, Boston. Was Boston the one that got hit by a freighter or something?
Did you see the video footage of that?
I did not.
So I'm sitting at the hotel that morning. I didn't even know it happened, but I'm watching CNN or whatever as I'm eating my hotel breakfast coming home. And they showed a barge slam into one of these, basically taking it underwater. I think only one person died on that. I don't even know how that's possible.
Yeah.
It was
brutal. How big those giant container ships
are. Oh, my God. It just rolled the thing underneath it. I mean, everybody had to scatter and swim.
The Dells. Anybody who's vacationed in the Dells has probably been on one of these things. So,
they're everywhere. They're pervasive. There isn't a community in the United States. If you have any form of a waterway, you probably have a duck tour.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. There might be some increased scrutiny on that. But as Eric mentioned, you know, vehicles are they're up there in age. But I think in this case, at least tragically, it might have boiled down to just some
it's
decisions.
Like the Exxon Valdez of duck tours.
Yeah, not good. Okay. So local news. Let's shift gears here. We'll talk about camping, a subject you're quite familiar with.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Well, see, now, and this is – I hate Camping World because – their version of camping is RVing. They should call it RV World.
Glamping.
Glamping, yeah. There's nothing. You know, if you go to a Camping World looking for a tent, they're going to throw you out because all they sell there is RVs. Anyway, if you don't know, Gander Mountain was bought out a couple years ago. They're a sporting goods store here in the Midwest. They sell guns and all kinds of stuff like that. Mostly guns. They're a gun store. But apparently Camping World bought some of them around here. And the Peoria store has been picked to be one of the Camping World outlet locations. So up there near Pioneer Park, not near Pioneer Park, is that you?
That was me. Sorry, that's my phone.
Yeah, up there near Grand Prairie, next to Home Depot, you're going to start seeing some RVs and stuff like that. And when you wonder, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's nice to have the option because as we were talking before the show, we don't have too many RV dealers up here.
I think there are more than we know. I think there's a couple in East Peoria, and they would probably be offended by our lack of knowledge.
Oh, yes. Off 116 there?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not the target demo. I mean, I grew up with tents.
Yeah.
I
don't see you as a tent guy.
I used to be.
Really?
I used to be. My wife kind of put the kibosh on that.
I can see that.
She grew up with RVs, so you know, she tent camped and hated it. But her foray into that was like tent camping in Florida in August.
Yeah.
Not a good start.
No, I've tent camped in Moab in the middle of July.
It's the dry heat.
Oh, my God. It's like
8 degrees.
It's like a hair dryer blowing on you. It's brutal.
No, thanks.
Yeah. Anyway. All right.
Camping World.
So do we move on to our fun segment of the show?
Yeah, I think it's time. We haven't had that much news about Elon Musk this week. I think we need to remedy that.
Yeah. So we got some theme music. We're bringing the production up of the show. That's all I'm going to say. So
this cost us a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the key is, Daryl, is to talk over it a lot so that way the censors don't know.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't have to pay for it.
Well, yeah. So they can't run that algorithm or whatever. Yeah. So hopefully you out there in podcast land picked up on the theme song.
Yeah. All right. So Elon hasn't done anything really substantial here recently.
Not really.
He sent out some bad tweets. CNN and Money Magazine basically said they're burning through $500,000 an hour or something like that, and he's going to need $2 billion to open up doors next year. But that's been about it for the Tesla news.
He's got a lot of money in the bank and apparently reached a settlement. He did spend some more money. He settled with a guy who I think invented a it was a coffee mug with an image with a farting unicorn. This is still
PG. Sound investment.
He was enamored by it, loved it, and I think like ripped it off. So there's some settlement he had to pay this guy because he liked his unicorn coffee mug. I don't know what people see in the guy. I mean, I guess I do, sort of.
It's probably that South African accent.
Maybe. I don't know.
He's like the Steve Jobs of South Africa.
Maybe. But he, he's also worth, what was it, almost $21 billion?
That'd be enough to burn through about 6 months of cash at Tesla, I think. So. I doubt he'll ever fork out that much out of his own pocket.
So, tune in next time.
Yeah, anyway. So we'll keep you up to date with any Elon updates. Look forward to that on any given show.
And let us know. Give us some feedback, too. Do you like this segment? Do you like everything about it? Or who else should we skewer? Send us an email. We're at info@throwinwrenches.com, or you can hit us up on the old Facebook page.
Yeah, if you say Steve Martin, you get a cookie, okay?
Mm.
Yeah. All right. So, Daryl.
Yeah.
It was funny. You sent me some pictures this week. I don't know if you were like creeping on some people in some parking garages or what.
I had a lot of time on my hands.
Okay. Apparently, the rust in Central Illinois is a new issue to you. This is a good thing. This is a new show, so that way we can introduce everybody to our pet peeves,
the curmudgeonly topics.
What is going on here?
All right. Well, you know, like a lot of people here in Central Illinois, you know, you're stuck in traffic and you're looking around, and usually there's a pickup truck or something next to you. And you're looking at it, you're like, hey, that's a nice looking Silverado. It's you know, Z71, got the full off-road package. And you look over at the bedside and it's all blistered and rusted out.
Mm-hmm.
Or you
mm-hmm.
look down at the rockers below the door of the cab corners, and this, you know, be like a 2010, 2012 pickup, and it's toast. The whole thing's shot. And the first thing that's been going through my mind is how much these new trucks go for nowadays?
Oh, 50 grand.
Yeah, it shouldn't happen. This thing's not even 10 years old a lot of times. And a lot of the rust proofing doesn't seem to be doing its job. I noticed this with Chevy pickups, with the Dodge Rams, especially the Dodge bedsides.
Mm-hmm.
Got a neighbor who's going through that now. He's had it touched up twice, and he's like, forget it. The rust keeps coming back.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other cars. I've got a daily driver Jeep Patriot that's got some rust that's bubbling up behind the door. Still looks good, but...
Oh, yeah. I saw that the other day on a Jeep that came through.
Did you?
The customer had actually sanded it and, like, spray-painted it right there. It's kind of like where you get into the back seat.
Yep. That's exactly what's going on. So I'm thinking about rust-proofing that afterwards. But speaking of rust-proofing, that doesn't seem to be something that we're doing from the factory too much anymore, is it?
Well, and so, you know, I was talking about this. It's old technology. You know, you're taking folds of metal, and now Ford is going to aluminum beds, but aluminum rust, too. I mean, you can still get some corrosion with that.
Right.
It won't bubble like the steel, but
it's that white chalky stuff.
Exactly. But the folds on the pictures you submitted here, which are great pictures, definitely creepy. But the Chevy and the Dodge, I mean, you're basically taking two pieces of metal, the outer layer and the inner layer, you're sandwiching them together, you're putting a fold on them. And you would think, for as much as you spend on these trucks, that you would have a layer of felt or some undercoating, rhino lining or something like that, mm-hmm. to protect. And honestly, some manufacturers do a better job than others. When you can look under a Chevy truck and you can see the paint color of the outside of the truck on the inside of the wheel well, you know that that truck is not set up to be protected later on, because every rock that kicks up is just going to break the paint there and it's going to start rusting.
Yep.
But, you know, they don't build the cars to last like they did back then. It's really a shame. Now, we were talking about the good old days with Z-Bart Tidy Car.
Oh, yeah.
And Mr. Rust Proofer and Pika and stuff like that. And that used to be a thing. I mean, people would what, a day? The same day they bought
same
the car?
Day. It'd be an add-on at the sale,
and
right?
It would just piss you off when you sell somebody a car, you beat on for a warranty. Hey, you need to buy that warranty. Nope, not going to do that. But then they go down to Z-Bart and they spend $800 on
it. On an 84 Chevette.
On a rust protection program.
Proof.
Yeah.
But that was also back in the days of the 70s where, you know, lightening up the cars by smaller gauge, thinner steel, all kinds of weight reduction, all that stuff that added weight to the car, they'd try to shave it instead of redesign the car. So you'd have a Monte Carlo that'd get 2 years and the fenders would start rotting, you know, or the, you know, Vegas and Pintos and, you know, all the other great pieces of automotive engineering.
The classics, yeah.
But realistically, a lot of that stuff, you know, rust-proofing, like the heyday was 70s and 80s when that stuff was just really coming out real thin.
Well, and I always wonder, because we live in the Rust Belt here.
True.
So, and I've seen cars, basically the Rust Belt for us, from what I see, extends from basically New Hampshire to Missouri.
Yeah.
You know, that stretch right there is all salt on the roads, and it's terrible climate.
Mm-hmm.
So I always wonder if auto manufacturers say, you know what, that's only 20% of the population or whatever. The other 80% don't have it
nearly
so bad. Exactly. You know, if you're in Minneapolis, they don't use salt the same way we do. You know, if you're in Texas, they don't use salt the same way we do.
Yeah, good point. And I've even noticed that growing up in Chicago versus St. Louis, St. Louis cars are cleaner.
Yeah.
Oh, especially 10, you know, 20-year-old, if you're looking for an old Mustang or project car or something like that. It's almost like you start the clock much later on the rust.
Something like that. Now, there are rust-proofing processes still go on, and I know, like I said, we talked about Greg down at Rust Proofer in Pekin, and I'm sure there's places in Peoria. People do it. I just don't think people think about holding their cars on, you know, holding on to their cars as long. And I will say, for the most part, cars with unibodies nowadays with all the plastic shielding underneath them. You don't really see the rust. I mean, when you look under a new car, especially a high fuel economy car, my God, it's like a NASCAR with all the plastic shields underneath there. Yeah, nothing's getting under there.
Yeah, full, like, almost covers over the engine bay, everything.
Yeah, so nothing's going to get through there. And any car that has, like, plastic fender liners, stuff like that, no rock chips going to kick up on that stuff. But these ones that are just naked, they're doomed. Doomed.
It's unfortunate. Let us know if you've noticed a particular car that seems to be kind of a rust magnet, or you have one that
if you have a remedy, or if you have a, how do you solve it? What about the guys who liquidize, who put that oil?
Fluid film stuff? Yes. Yeah, that's a whole other, that's Canadian,
work,
I think.
Work on those cars one time. Oh, my God.
Yeah. All you do is just take this stuff here and spray it all over the car, eh? That's fantastic.
Every 6 months or, oh, my God.
Meanwhile, you're getting in and out of your car, your door handle's just all greased up.
I'm going to change the oil. I'm just going to reach out and grab the filter. Oh, my God.
It's nasty. Yeah, anyways, exactly. Let us know. You got home remedies that don't involve lubricants, let us know.
Now, while you were getting curmudgeon this week, you had another topic of, I love the bitter old man aspect of Daryl. He's younger than me by about like a decade, but, man, he comes off a lot older.
I'm just ticked off about a lot of... one thing that I do notice, though, I spend a lot of time in traffic, apparently, because when I'm sitting at red lights is when I think of all this stupid stuff.
Like a five-minute drive to work.
I do. It's great. But sitting in traffic, you hear cars stopping and starting, stopping and starting, a starter engaging. And I remember the first car I drove was a Chevy Malibu that had that feature. I was borrowing one of my in-laws.
Must have been fairly new because it's within the last year or so for this technology.
Yeah, it was like a Malibu, and I was running up to CVS or something real quick, and I remember the first stop in the neighborhood, the car shuts off, and I freaked out. My wife was with me. She's like, "What? The car just died. What happened?" And come to find out, they do that. And that's to save fuel. To save fuel and reduce emissions from idling cars. And I get all that.
Yeah.
But, like, dudes, seriously, like, what is the deal? Like, you can't tell me that a starter isn't going to wear out prematurely based on...
Well, it's definitely going to wear out sooner. But I was telling you before, starters around our neck of the woods, because we live in rural areas, tend to get about 150,000 miles or so. And if you live in the city, it's going to be less than that. They anticipate the starters are going to wear out faster on these, and the solenoids that run them, on ours, they're going to have dual solenoids for the start-stop feature.
Okay.
And they said that once those wear out, that the basic solenoid will work.
So can start the car like normal.
Yeah, but if you want that auto stop feature to kick on there, you got to replace that other solenoid. Nobody's ever going to do that.
No.
Nobody. This brings up the conversation of, how much waste is involved to save a puff of gas here, a puff of gas there. I mean, by the time you build a starter, or you're gonna replace your starter's hand over fist in about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, wait for it.
Yeah,
you'll be all in your dealership.
Yeah, by the time it's well, if Trump puts your 25% tariff, on your part from China, we could backtrack to that. But by the time you build that part in China, by the time you have that kid digging through there and through the precious metals, winding the coils, it gets put on the boat and it's shipped over to the port. Trucked over to Chicago, then brought down to Peoria to the warehouse. How much fuel, how much resources, how much did we actually save?
Nobody's rebuilding them. Nobody's taking it on a bench
and
doing rebuilding it.
Core returns, but...
But they're shipping those overseas south of the border to do
that. That tells you what they're really worth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, back in the day, if you had a starter that went out, you took it to the local auto electric place and put $15 and the guy would rebuild it and give you a warranty.
What do you think the scrapyard where those cores go in Mexico looks like?
Well, I don't want to think about it.
It's got to be an abortion of, ecology. It's just got to be just oil spills and just nastiness,
Yeah, and the sad thing is all the environmental regulation we passed here in the States to prevent that. Because let's face it, that's not good. That's not helping anybody. Nobody wants to have a well water two miles down the road from a toxic waste dump junkyard. But it's going somewhere, like we said earlier. As long as it's not in our backyard, we don't think about it. Yeah. But it's sitting somewhere.
It is, definitely.
So, I mean, saving a couple miles per gallon, maybe that's great. It's maybe helping reduce the hydrocarbon footprint. But we're also engineering goofy things like electric pumps or electric motors to power the air conditioning compressors.
Yeah.
Because when you're sitting at idle in Los Angeles in your Lexus, and the thing shuts off at when you're stopped.
You have to bypass that belt because it's not going to be driven anymore. So
yeah.
You can have an electric compressor running in there, which electric compressors have been around for a while. I know my cars the last decade or so have had electric compressors in them.
Oh, have they?
Yeah. But yeah, you're reinventing the wheel and some of that stuff. And I'm not so fearful of that. I think the way, you know, what are we gaining? I guess you're not putting a puff of smoke in Chicago. You're putting it in Beijing or in Mexico, you know, Guadalajara.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, somebody's going to get that somewhere. It's just like when somebody says, oh, I got an e-reader. It's so much more better than, you know, a book.
Than a book.
You're still burning something.
Right.
You know
what doesn't have to be recharged? A book. You just pick it up. That's the fun
thing.
You killed
a tree, though. Wait a second. You probably killed a tree or a lump of coal to read that e-reader. Nobody thinks about this
probably.
Stuff.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, it's all one big six of – I can't remember the phrase. Six of one, half dozen of another.
There you go. That works.
We need an old curmudgeonly person to –
I think we need like a book of curmudgeon statements. We can work off that thing pretty hard. Yeah, especially you. You could probably write it, though, I think, after a month or so of doing the show.
Maybe. All right, let's move on to happier things. We got some picks of the week as far as vehicles go. We like to pretend we've got deep pockets.
Oh, yeah. This is the best part of the show, I think.
Yeah, we go shopping online and pretend that we've got just endless amounts of funding and capital, and then we pick out a vehicle we would like to buy, which in reality we probably would hate. We'd get bored. We'd get frustrated. We'd probably crash it.
It's like better than the Trading Post. Do you ever used to just pick up the Trading Post?
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Oh, I'll bet you did. I can see you totally being all over the – especially the free one. You didn't care, did you?
No. We had one up in Lake County where I grew up called the Advertiser, which was just – it was like $500, you know, former plow trucks and stuff.
Yeah,
just
no. Them. Oh, look. There's the military trucks. Those are cool.
Neat.
Yeah.
There's an old Jeep with no frame. I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, here's a Project Jaguar with nothing but the shell.
Good idea. It's only $800. No title. So yeah, what do we have for folks at home this week? I think you're in a kind of a 4x4 mode.
I must have been. So we were up in the mountains, and there were some Grand Wagoneer Jeeps that rolled up, which I've had an affection for those vehicles. I guess that represents what I drive as a daily driver half the time.
Nice.
But the wood walls, the chrome, I mean, you can just see the kids hop around the third row in that thing, you know, just total fun. The roof racks on those things, they were really ahead of their time. But so we saw a bunch of those when we were up on the trails. I give those guys credit because those trucks are carbureted and they got them lifted and everything. But if you're at altitude and you're driving one of those things around, you definitely know what you're doing because you got to shake some stuff around to get the fuel pressure up where you want and all that. But anyway, behind those guys, there were a bunch of Broncos. I mean, I was impressed already by the Wagoneers, but then a bunch of guys were up in Broncos.
Nice.
And the old school Broncos. We're talking, early 70s, removable top. They were built up in probably 35, sitting high, you know, guys with their gals next to them, you know, fresh paint on them. They looked gorgeous. And I was just like, God. Blessing.
Yeah, those are nice rigs.
Yeah, they are. So
I think they made them from like the same style from 66 to 77.
Okay.
And then after that, they just look like an F-150.
Oh, yeah. They basically had that hard top F-150. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I dug around a little bit on Craigslist. And I thought, this might be kind of fun to see what these things are going for because I have no idea. I know just like any of these old trucks, they can kind of be wild all over on the price. But right now in Cuba, Illinois, on our Craigslist in Peoria, there's a 75 Bronco. And it's red. It's a little roughed up. The guy said it was a trail rig, and it looks like it. The outside's got rock chips. That's what I love about some of these online pictures because they're just far enough away you can't see. But if you get the discerning eye out, you can see that's rough. Interior's rough, and 14.5 seems like tall money. But you know, this thing is solid axle. It's big block engine. It's not IFS and the removable top. This makes these vehicles highly collectible. People are going to seek them for a long time. Even after gas cars are banned, Daryl, people
That's right.
still going to want these things. They'll just put an electric motor in it or something.
It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah. But just a fun vehicle. And I don't ever see it as a daily driver. But, man, if you want to have a car that you know you could take to the auto show or take out on the weekend and have fun, these are the vehicle for it, I think.
Yeah, there's definitely something. You know, the new Jeep Wranglers and stuff are fun, I'm sure. But there's something to be said for just a big old beefy thing like that.
Oh, yeah. And I really do believe without the roll bars and all that stuff, you would definitely die in a horrible accident.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, just get a little off camber in a ditch somewhere, and next thing you know, everybody flies out and dies. I mean, that's just That's just the cost of looking cool, I think.
I flew over a set of railroad tracks in one of those things one time, and it was the what they call like the convertible version that was just the two doors without the pillars around the doors, like frameless,
yeah,
no roll bar, nothing. And I remember thinking it was the coolest thing in the world, and then when I got home, I'm like, that could have gone
so bad. Yeah.
But I was like 20 at the time, so I didn't care.
Yeah, you were indestructible.
Yeah, it didn't matter. All right, well, Bronco, nice pick, Eric, as always. I went over to Germany.
And again.
Two
episodes in a row.
I forgot what the heck I picked last time. But
It was that BMW, that classic mid-90s.
Oh, that's right. It was the M Coupe, the M6.
Yeah, it was the Mel Gibson mobile.
Yeah, the Lethal Weapon 2.
Yeah.
South African terrorist guy. So
Elon Musk?
Maybe. This is my pick from bringatrailer.com, which thanks for turning me on to that. I'm
glad you enjoy that site. Man, I've been watching that one for years.
There's so much cool stuff on there and ridiculous pricing. But there's some real stuff, too.
And there's some great sponsorship opportunity there, too, so be nice.
I'm just saying, Bring a Trailer has brought a lot to the table here. So 85 Quattro, Audi Quattro Coupe. That's the kind of big fastback that was made famous during Group B rally racing as the S1, which was raced by people like Walter Roll and Michel Mouton.
I think I'm going to have to look up some pictures of Michelle. She just she has a look about her just from her name.
It is the best name, and she's very, very, very beautiful woman. She's still active in the vintage rally scene. She's a Pikes Peak record holder. Mm. She, I think, did that in 86 or 7.
Oui.
She's got some great taste because she was an Audi driver for a while. But, yeah, the Audi Quattro Coupes of that era, this thing sold for $43,000.
I am shocked by this number because an 85 Audi Coupe, and it is Quattro, I still feel like a Chevy Malibu would outperform this thing out at Autocross.
I mean, maybe today, probably. But
damn, this car probably looks cool out there.
It does. It's got some nice lines to it, real classy. And this one is the bright red with the Audi rings kind of silhouetted on the door. Those 80s graphics.
Yeah.
But like between that and like the louvered back window,
yeah,
that's just the epitome of 80s cool. All you need is like a, I don't know, Duran Duran cassette.
Ooh, yeah. A little Go-Go's maybe.
A little Rio.
Yeah. Oh, like, well, no, I guess we got to go. Maybe because it's German, a little Kraftwerk.
Computer. Yeah, anyways. Yeah. So, yeah, that's our pick of the week there for our vehicles. Let us know what you're scoping out. Is there some stuff out there, a treasure trove of vehicles we don't know about? Let us know.
Yeah, is there a site that you go to? Because, you know, Bring a Trailer, Craigslist, and Jalopnik, you know, we peruse those things all the time. But if there's something you're using, Showplaceclassifieds.com. I think that was a local trade magazine here.
Okay.
I used to peruse that one all the time, but
pretty decent.
It used to be. That was the rag, and their website was pretty good too. But I'll have to check that one out again too.
West Coast also. There's like Thrifty Nickel, I think is, and that might be a brand, but they franchise it all over.
Yeah.
Guys, I hear people, you know, pulling old stuff out of garages. You know, like, where'd you get that? Oh, Thrifty Nickel. Well, a lot of the elderly folks that have something that they're sitting on, they go to the paper. They don't go to eBay.
You are right. You know what? And don't disrespect the Journal Star because you're right.
Yeah.
Occasionally, people who read it are the ones that are going to be putting stuff in it.
There's a 48 Packard in there. Oh, really?
Huh. Oh, yeah. Maybe you shouldn't read the paper.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah. Well, it's okay. My garage is full of stuff that doesn't run right now or stop. So I'm flush out of money and space. So.
That's good to hear, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. All right. So for everybody who doesn't listen, we do appreciate you tuning in for our dozen or so listeners. We'll see you next time. Please give us feedback. We're looking forward to growing the show. And if there's anything we can do, you know, shoot us an email.
Yeah, otherwise, we'll see you at one of the events, one of the Cars and Coffees or Friday Night Lights or other shows in the area. And we will definitely stay in touch on Facebook. You can follow us there. We're at Throwing Wrenches Podcast. We'll see you next time.
All right. See you. Bye.